This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I used to have a recurring dream of the house where I lived as a child. And in that dream, the home I once loved was empty and musty, and it was dangerous as my feet were going right through the rotten floorboards. Dreams like this can leave you feeling somehow bereft, for what I had expected to find, my own home, was not as I hoped it would be. Such a thing happened to Jesus when he visited the temple in our reading today, and he is horrified to find what he sees as his Father's house so drastically altered. Scripture tells us that Jesus visited the temple with his parents as a 12-year-old boy. Way back then it would have been an awesome place to visit, filled with God's presence. It was also a place of learning, a place where Jesus himself had sat mulling over God's holy word with wise and learned men. He must have had such lovely memories of this place that he loved so well. I wonder which holy place stands out in our memories in such a precious way. Northumbria Community sing a song based upon Psalm 84, where the psalmist sings of his love for God's holy dwelling place.
How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me. My soul is longing and fainting, the courts of the Lord to see. My heart and flesh, they are singing for joy to the living God. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me.
Even the sparrow finds a home where he can settle down, and the swallow, she can build a nest where she may lay her young. Within the courts of the Lord of hosts, my King, my Lord, my God. And happy are those who are dwelling where his song of praise is sung.
A Our gospel reading today, however, presents us with quite a different description of the temple precincts in Jerusalem, and how Jesus is shocked to find it so changed. The temple court has been turned into a marketplace, with traders' voices loud and coarse, haggling over prices, raising their voices in dispute. And these buyers and sellers were cheating the people as they came to offer sacrifices to God. Not only this, but the court where this was taking place, the court of the Gentiles, was the only part of the temple where non-Jews could actually gather and catch a sense of God's presence. And all this commotion meant they couldn't do that. Jesus was furious that his father's house was being desecrated. His anger was a righteous anger. I'm sure many of us would respond in a similar way if, in returning from a holiday, we found squatters trashing our home. Here's what Jesus did. I'm reading from John's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 13. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. So Jesus told these traders in no uncertain terms, "Get out. You have no right to be here. This house belongs to God." To Jesus, the temple was God's dwelling place, a place to be still and discover him, a place where his presence could be felt. It was a place where God could revive his people, cleanse them, heal them, and make them whole. These are the reasons people still seek God today. But it's not just in a holy place, is it, that we can find God? In the stillness and when our hearts are open, wherever we are, we can still seek him, and he will meet us there. Here's a beautiful hymn, much loved in our churches, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord," from Beverly Minster. Now what if Jesus had walked into God's temple and found then not the noise of a marketplace, but that it was empty and people didn't care to visit it anymore? What if it had been converted into a spacious, quirky home or a warehouse full of carpets, a storage depot or a nightclub? What would he have done? How might he have reacted then? I think he would have cried, like he did over the city of Jerusalem when it would not listen to him, or like he does in this poem by Geoffrey Studdard Kennedy called Indifference. The poem focuses upon the city of Birmingham, but it could be about any modern city really today. It says this: when Jesus came to Birmingham, they simply passed him by. They would not hurt a hair of him, they only let him die. For men had grown more tender, and they would not give him pain. They only just passed down the street and left him in the rain. Still Jesus cried, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And still it rained, the winter rain that drenched him through and through. The crowds went home and left the streets without a soul to see, and Jesus crouched against a wall and cried for Calvary. I suppose the decline that came about in the temple in Jesus' time happened so gradually over the years that no one saw the difference between what used to be and what came to be. Couldn't the same be said of our world today? Have we drifted from honouring God and worshipping him to worshipping other gods instead, gods of power, pleasure and possessions? And has such a shift become so gradual that we haven't noticed the vast difference? And does a decline in faith equate with a decline in morals, or how we fail to respect our neighbour, or how we mistreat God's creation? Our next song is sung by Bob Geldof. It's called The Great Song of Indifference. He sings, "I don't mind if culture crumbles. I don't mind if religion stumbles. I can't hear the speakers mumble, and I don't mind at all. I don't care if the third world fries. It's hotter there, I'm not surprised. Baby, I can watch whole nations die, and I don't care at all." Here's his very sad song.
"I don't mind if you go. I don't mind if you take it slow. I don't mind if you say yes or no. I don't mind at all. I don't care if you live or die. Couldn't care less if you laugh or cry. I don't mind if you crash or fly. I don't mind at all. I don't mind if you come or go. I don't mind if you say no. Couldn't care less, baby, let it flow. Cause I don't care at all. I don't care if you sink or swim, lock me out or let me in. Where I'm going or where I've been, I don't mind at all. I don't mind if the government falls, implements more futile laws. I don't care if the nation stalls, and I don't care at all. I don't care if they tear down trees, I don't feel the hotter breeze. Sinking dust and dying seas, and I don't care at all. Let's go! Culture crumbles, I don't mind if religion stumbles. I can't hear the speakers mumble, nah, I don't mind at all. I don't care if the third world fries, hotter there, I'm not surprised. Maybe I can watch whole nations die, and I don't care at all. I don't mind, 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 I don't mind at all. Na 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 na. Come on, boys. I don't mind people's views, authority no longer gives sense of social engineer, and I don't mind at all.
ancient scripture in the book of the prophet Haggai, it is written, "Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, saying, Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses, while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says, Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains, and bring down timber and build my house." Do we care if God's house is in ruins? And what is meant by the words, Build my house? Here's a song sung and written by Brian Dirksen called Purify My Heart.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold. Is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will.
Loved people enough to confront them, not because he was condemning them or judging them, but because he loved them. But let's also remember his words of rebuke for the religious leaders more than anyone, their aura of religious exclusivity, their mismanagement of what was entrusted to them, and for being out of touch with people's real needs. In Psalm 51 there's a beautiful prayer for those who wish to serve God in today's world. For scripture tells us that it's our bodies that can be God's temple too, and we must be cleansed and fit and ready to do God's will. Could this be what is meant by the words, Build my house? Is God asking that our bodies should become a holy place in which he can dwell? The prayer in Psalm 51 is this: Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Here's a song written by Terry Talbot, Create in Me, and it's sung here a cappella.
Create for me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings, for we are your righteousness. If we've died to ourselves and lived through your death, then we shall be born again to be blessed in your love. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength, teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings, for we are your righteousness. If we've died to ourselves and lived through your death, then we shall be born again to be blessed in your love. Create for me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength, teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings, for we are your righteousness. If we've died to ourselves and live through your death, then we shall be born again to be blessed in your love.
During this last year of anxiety and fear, hardship and pain, many have experienced God at work through others in acts of outreach and loving care, through a sympathetic listener, a generous neighbour, the comforting words of a friend, or the dedication and compassion of a health worker. What was once perhaps hidden from view is now more visible and appreciated and shared. The Bishop of London, the Right Reverend Sarah Mullally, who chairs the Church of England's Coronavirus Recovery Group, recently had this to say: "The way in which people have reached out to others has been inspirational, and also that our churches have loved and served their neighbours perhaps like never before, and found ways to meet and worship God together. We would not have imagined this just a year ago." Jesus touches on the light that emerges from darkness, the hope which arises from pain and sacrifice. In his final words here, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Here he prophesies his own coming death and its power to save us from sin and death and darkness. He also speaks of hope and resurrection. And so we pray, come afresh, loving God, to refine and purify us all. Forgive us the wrong that we have done. Teach us your truth and lead us back to you. Today we offer you all that we are. Amen. Rent Collective echo those words in a song called All That I Am. But now it's goodbye from me and from Andrew Ridgwick, my technician. Have a lovely week, everyone.
Take every treasure, take this life. Everything's on the altar now. No holding back, no holding out. In view of your matchless sacrifice, take every treasure, take this life. you are. Selfish ambition and my pride, I'm giving up, I'm letting die. In these empty hands I have it all, the pure joy of knowing you, my Lord. All that I am for all that you are. You are.